The deterioration of relations between Egypt and the children of Israel proceeds rapidly. What values, emotions, and perspectives make such a breakdown possible, and what could prevent it? The contrasting figures of Paro and his daughter offer two opposite models, each of whom go through three steps. On the one hand, Paro exemplifies the descent from relationship into fear, oppression, and alienation. On the other, his daughter represents a path grounded in courage, relationship, empathy, and a belief in the possibility of mutual flourishing. A new king arose over Egypt, the verses tell us, who did not know Yosef. This is how Paro is introduced to us as a new king. A moment of renewal is a moment of choice. Renewal invites the question, what will the relationship to the past be? New kings inevitably rise. This is the way of the world. But how new they truly are, therein lies a decision. It is striking that the Torah pairs the king's newness, a new king arose, with knowledge, or more precisely, with the absence of it, who did not know Yosef. This lack of knowledge raises questions. Is this a king who does not know the past of his kingdom, or is he choosing ignorance? The fact that he is a king, surrounded by magicians and advisors, strengthens the impression of a choice not to know. Does his ignorance signify a deliberate severing of ties with his own history? Does unfamiliarity with Yosef, a significant political figure, symbolize a broader disconnect from the statesmen of Egypt's past or a break from the governing traditions that shaped the regime? Or maybe his failure to know Yosef expresses something deeper, a lack of familiarity, even alienation from the other, from foreigners like the children of Israel who dwell among his people. Renewal from a place of ignorance is a choice with moral consequences, for knowledge is a form of connection, and connection comes with responsibility. Choosing not to know is, in essence, choosing disconnection, a severing of ties that leads to a withdrawal of responsibility. This marks the first step in the breakdown of relations between Egypt and Israel. The second step that allows for this deterioration is the projection of a future reality, one shaped by disconnection and ignorance. When such a vision is rooted in estrangement and detachment, the only thing left to do is imagine the worst. And the verses indeed tell us. And he said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are much more numerous than us. Let us deal shrewdly with them so that they may not increase. Otherwise, in the event of war, they will join our enemies in fighting against us and rise from the ground." Paro could have imagined a completely different relationship instead of a competitive one. He might have said, for example, "They are numerous and therefore they can be of great help to us." Or, "They may join us in fighting our enemies." But envisioning a hopeful reality requires renewal that connects rather than severs, a renewal grounded in memory, in knowing, and in the effort to understand. It requires choosing to know Yosef and his legacy and recognizing the importance of acting in cooperation. Instead of a zero-sum mindset, Paro could have invited partnership and shared flourishing, but he does not. This new Paro chooses a path of division. Once our thoughts wander to separatists and comparative realms, understanding others as a threat, they naturally lead to fear and assumptions of war. They will join our enemies and fight against us. Here we reach the third stage. The impression of war pushes Paro into survival mode. Believing that the children of Israel, so numerous and mighty, pose a threat and intend him harm, he feels compelled to defend himself. And the verses describe, So they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. The Egyptians ruthlessly imposed upon the Israelites the various labors that they made them perform. Ruthlessly, they made life bitter for them with harsh labor. The king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, "When you deliver the Hebrew women, look at the birth stool. If it is a boy, kill him." The verses reveal the escalating layers of Paro's defensive aggression. Taskmasters, forced labor, enslavement, the embittering of their lives, and ultimately a decree of death against their sons. In stark contrast to Paro stands his daughter. Through her choices, actions, and relationships, she presents a radically different path. Before our eyes, she embodies alternative possibilities rooted not in fear, but in compassion, courage, and connection. Paro's daughter is portrayed as a person who sees. Paro's daughter, the verses tell us, went down to bathe by the Nile, while her maidens walked along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maidservant to fetch it. She opened it and saw the child. Behold, a crying baby. And she had compassion for him and said, "This must be one of the Hebrew children." In contrast to Paro's stance, which detaches and blocks, his daughter chooses to see from a stance which opens and connects. She is motivated by what she sees. Her seeing is open, engaged, and bonding. Her responses draw her nearer, and she allows what she sees to touch her, to move her, and to influence her. She sent her maidservant. She had compassion, and so on. Once Paro's daughter chose to see and to let what she saw touch her, she too, like her father, reaches a second stage, imagining a future reality. But unlike Paro, whose vision was shaped by ignorance and fear, her perception emerges from a place of connection to the new which is revealed. She saw, she had compassion, she made him her son. Paro's daughter saw, and from within knowledge and recognition of Moshe, she envisions a shared future, a future in which she would become the mother of this child. She demonstrates for us that when an encounter is open, when we allow ourselves to be moved, affected, vulnerable, then a shared future becomes imaginable. When connection is born out of true seeing and connectivity, the mindset of mere survival is replaced by a sense of responsibility for oneself and for others. The zero-sum view of reality gives way to the possibility of mutual growth of a future in which all can thrive. Paro's daughter embodies this consciousness as revealed in the name she gives the child she saved. She named him Moshe. Explain him, "I drew him out of the water." Had the name reflected only their shared past, a moment in which he was seen and chosen, as she stood before him with vulnerability, his name would have been Mashui, the one who was drawn out, in past and passive form. The name Paro's daughter gives her son expresses her vision of the future. Moshe, which looks like the grammatical active, present form in Hebrew, is one who will draw others out. He is destined to become a redeemer. And indeed, as the Torah tells us, when he grows up, he chooses to see and understand. Sometime after that, when Moshe had grown up, he walked out to his kinfolk and saw their suffering. The choice not to see, the choice not to know the past and tradition, and to disconnect from Yosef figures around us. The choice to interpret differences in a competitive way, greater and mightier than us, instead of for or with us. These intensify a perception of reality in which only one can survive. And this survival consciousness can easily lead to evil and war. While Paro acts out of denial, fear, and aggression, Paro's daughter acts as in an opposite picture. First, she chooses to see and to know, allowing herself to feel and be vulnerable. She had compassion despite it being a Hebrew child. And in the second stage, Paro's daughter is able, based on this seeing and knowing, to imagine a shared future. And he became like a son to her. Instead of a zero-sum game and a comparative survival perception, Paro's daughter imagines a shared life emerging from seeing the other and willingness to be vulnerable. The result is clear, honest seeing, grounded in a self-perception of resilience and the ability to respond and act. Parashat Shmot invites us to choose vision and knowledge, awareness of our past, and a renewal that connects and opens the door to knowing those around us, even or especially when they are different from us. It teaches us to imagine a life-giving future, one that makes room for all, perhaps even through cooperation and shared purpose. This outlook urges us to move beyond a survivalist mindset and instead embrace a sense of inner strength and willingness to truly see the other, and the courage to be open and vulnerable. From this openness grows the capacity for responsibility, not only for ourselves, but for others. Shabbat Shalom.